Peter O'Brien, and he'll be talking about the using surface energy balance as an indicator of success in soil remediation.
Thank you. So I'm going to talk about the surface energy balance and a reclamation project we're working on. And I think probably the first place to start is, since it's kind of a big left turn from what we've heard about, is to say what the surface energy balance is. So it's kind of a way of describing how energy is partitioned at the soil surface. So kind of the main source of the energy in these systems is that sun. And so if we think about the sun as giving off all this radiated energy, and some of it's being bounced back at different levels of the atmosphere, some's being intercepted by vegetation, some's actually reflected off the soil surface, but what's left there at the soil surface is kind of partitioned into doing three paths. So the first one is what we call the soil heat flux, and that's energy going into heating the soil. The second would be the sensible heat flux, and that's energy that's going into heating air at the soil surface. And then the fourth one, really the third component, would be the latent heat flux, which is going into evaporating water at the soil surface. And typically we describe this in an equation of Rn minus G, which is the available energy, and that's equaling H plus LE, which is the amount of work going into heating the air and evaporating the water. And kind of a quick note, we're pretty good at measuring net radiation, and we're pretty good at getting at that soil heat flux independently, but measuring the sensible and latent heat fluxes independently is kind of difficult sometimes. So what we use is the Bowen ratio to kind of get at that. And that is basically just the ratio of the sensible to the latent heat flow. And so this is the instrumentation that we use to measure it. There's a whole pile of sensors that go into this. But I just want to note, so what we really need to make that Bowen ratio is a gradient of air temperature and vapor pressure at two different heights. And from that, we can start to do our calculations. So that's everything that's involved in it. This is what it actually looks like in the field. We have a net radiometer. Here are two air intakes. And there's several more sensors kind of buried right beneath that. So that's what we're trying to measure, but why is that important, especially in terms of soil reclamation? So first, it's kind of a complex dynamic process. It has diurnal trends, seasonal trends, and it's really the result of interactions of a lot of different soil properties. So rather than just measuring one soil property, what's the organic matter on this compared to this, a lot of things go into influencing this. And so we can kind of see how things are interacting in field conditions and how that soil is actually affected by any changes in both density, organic matter, texture, and things like that. Specific to our region, I'll be talking about Western North Dakota. We have kind of a short growing season and not very much precipitation. And so soil temperature dynamics and evaporation are really important in our agricultural systems. And we can kind of start to get at some of those things with the surface energy balance. So kind of the context that we're going to talk about this, I said we're here in northwest North Dakota. Over the past decade or so, there's been a big oil boom. And kind of with that, there's a risk of oil spills. And this research is a remediation and reclamation project after an oil spill that released 30 full rail tankers full of oil. So it's just a massive, massive spill. And here's an aerial photo of this. The footprint of the site itself is probably upwards of 60 or 70 acres. With the excavation and all the associated infrastructure. And what they're doing with this is, if you think about when crude oil is exposed to soil to contaminate it, the oil kind of coats the soil particles. And so they're using a process called an ex situ thermal desorption to treat that. When the soil is excavated, it goes up this little conveyor belt into this rotary drum. And inside that drum, it's heated up to 350 degrees Celsius. So if you think about that coated soil particle, as it's heated up, that oil is evaporating, or vaporization of that oil desorbs it from the soil particles. And so then the gaseous contaminants are combusted in a thermal oxidizer, And what we're really focused on at NDSU is the soil that comes out the other side. And if we can use that to go back into agricultural production, or maybe what we need to do to reclaim it. So this is kind of a good interlude for what is soil reclamation. Since we started this project, we've had a lot of confusion about people using these words interchangeably. I just kind of want to note, so reclamation doesn't equal remediation, doesn't equal restoration. And what we're really focused on is this reclamation, which is returning the land to some sort of productive land use, where remediation is just that removal of the contaminants, and that's what that ex situ thermal desorption is. That's remediating the soil. And then restoration is kind of this overall recovery of the soil to almost a pre-disturbed state. And so kind of for the purposes of our discussion, we're just focusing on how can we bring this soil back to a useful purpose. And that kind of goes into what would be a success on this site. So if we think about what are we going to try and compare this soil to once we get it treated and back into the landscape and production here. If we think about if we just excavated any regular topsoil, we dug it up and put it back in, it's probably not going to produce quite as well as undisturbed state. So it's maybe not realistic to compare what we have here, at least initially, to anything over here that's been undisturbed. So what we are going to try and compare to is actually excavated topsoil. And then the TD treated soil, the soil treated by desorption. And what we also have is a one-to-one mixture by volume of those two treatments. And so we have these massive research plots that are 15 meters by 15 meters by a meter deep. And it was really a pretty impressive engineering feat to get them built. And I like to show this picture because an aerial photo right after they were built, it just looked like a nice checkerboard. And you can really see the treatments just from this photo, where you can see that the native A horizon is nice and black and the TD stuff is red, and then that mixture is kind of an intermediate color. And that really speaks to a lot of the organic matter being burned out in that thermal desorption process. So to kind of jump into what we get from our measurement of surface energy balance, so if we think back to here are our four components that we talked about at the beginning. And this is just a representative day. We had our instrumentation out there for about 46 days, and we got 25 days of pretty good usable data. And so this is representative of one of those days. So you can kind of see here from the hour of the day, this black line represents the net radiation, which is kind of what you'd expect. It's really low here. At sunrise, and then kind of at the midpoint of the day, it's highest, and then it decreases again at sunset. And then our other three components are kind of partitioned from that. And you can see that in our study, a majority of that energy is going into the sensible heat flux. And what we're really interested in is kind of comparing how the mixture and the TD stuff is actually compared to this. And we can kind of see that, you know, the trends are pretty similar in that mixed soil. Maybe if you're being nitpicky, you could say that the sensible heat flux is a little higher and the latent heat flux is a little bit lower. But it's matching up pretty well. And then even in the thermal desorption treated soil, the trends are pretty similar, except here the sensible heat flux is a little bit lower. And I do want to point out that this brown line, which is the soil heat flux, is actually quite a bit higher than either of these other two here. But for the most part, the trends are matching up pretty well. But to go back to this idea of comparison, what are we going to call a success, or what can we say is actually going on after treatment compared to just something that's been excavated? So what we have here is our 25 days. And it's not really continuous data, so there are some breaks in the x-axis. But basically, we have a daily value for each of these components, and we start with net radiation. And we put whatever the native A horizon was at 1, and then we take everything relative to that for the thermal desorption and the mixture. And we see that the net radiation, it matches up pretty much the whole study There's no bouncing around in the data, which was actually a little surprising given those differences in soil color as well as residue cover. But then we go back to our soil heat flux, which we saw in the last flux slide was a little bit higher in the thermal desorption treated soil. And we can see here that it's about twice as high as the A pretty consistently throughout the study, whereas that mixture is pretty close to the A or even a little bit less. And this is something that we really picked up on, but we're not quite sure how meaningful that is in the scheme of things, because if you think about all four of our components, they're all related to one another, so if one goes up, other ones have to go down. And if we're thinking about the sensible heat flux and the latent heat flux, we're not seeing that same trend with the G, with the soil heat flux in either of these. And these are actually, especially the H, is staying pretty close to the LE, whereas the LE is kind of bouncing around a little bit more. But in any event, with both of these, we're thinking, sometimes it's higher than the A, sometimes it's lower. So maybe this is just kind of the result of natural variability that you'd expect to see in any system. Which kind of brings us back to the idea of what's going on with that G. And so we're thinking about the soil heat flux with relation to soil temperature, which is kind of what we're getting at with soil reclamation. We're concerned about, are these temperature dynamics changing after thermal desorption treatment? And we see that over the course of the study, they're not. The soil temperature at 3 centimeters for the A and the TD are matched up pretty much the entire time, with the mixture being just a bit lower, but not terribly lower. And similarly with the evaporation that we can calculate from the latent energy or the latent heat flux, we see there's not really any clear patterns. And over the course of 25 days, the A and the TD are only 2 millimeters apart. And so that's really not saying too much about any alterations over time in the latent heat flux, and really not raising any concerns for soil reclamation in terms of increased evaporation. So, kind of from those things, we can kind of conclude that the surface energy balance isn't really going to be a limiting factor on these soils in terms of future reclamation activities. Lots of things go into determining what's successful and what's going to work on those soils, but evaporation and temperature dynamics are not going to be a limiting factor here. And we can kind of say that because we saw that the net radiation, sensible and latent heat fluxes were not really affected at all by the thermal desorption treatment. And even though G was, about twice as high than the A, but that magnitude of heat flux is not enough to alter either the evaporative fluxes or the temperature dynamics. And then kind of a last note is that that mixture was behaving almost identically to the native A horizon, which is kind of another plug for a lot of the other research we've been doing where mixing that soil is kind of a promising way of reintroducing organic matter and biological communities. So that may be a promising avenue once they actually complete this site. That's all I've got for today. Two quick acknowledgments. This is Steve Jensen. He's a landowner of the land that had the oil spill on it. And Nelson Environmental built those research plots, and they've been incredibly helpful for all our research. So give them a plug. And thank you all for listening. I can't quite hear you. What's kind of different after the treatment? Well, the biggest thing that we've noticed is the organic matter goes down quite a bit, and that's then associated with reduced biological communities. So nutrient cycling can be inhibited or diminished a little bit. It's still occurring, so that's going to have a big effect on soil fertility. That's the biggest thing that we've seen. A lot of the other physical chemical characteristics have not been changed by this heating process, which is promising moving forward.
Okay, well, let's thank all our speakers.